You're listening to a podcast on
the Geeky Dad Podcast Network.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
When the kids are asleep, that's when Dad has time to play. Welcome to the Geeky Dad After Dark.
Okay. I'm the Geeky Dad, and I'm here with two very special guests. Now, guys, you want to introduce yourselves and tell us a little bit about yourselves and what we're going to be talking about today, your comic book series. Jim, you first.
Okay. My name is Jim Ousley. I'm the writer and co-creator of The Atonement Bell that's out now from Red 5 Comics. Issue 2 just came out recently. And it's my third series for Red 5 Comics. I wrote the Butcher Queen Black Star City series, which out on trade. And the second series was called Butcher Queen Planet of the Dead.
Ooh.
And they're both kind of sci-fi, cyberpunk, noir kind of things. And now it's The Atonement Bell with Tyler B. Ruff.
All right. Now, Tyler.
I'm a Gemini, and I enjoy parasailing.
Oh, and are you single, too?
No. I'm married.
Oh, you have any... Two kids. Yay, so you're a geeky dad too. Good.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, Tyler, a little bit about yourself, sir.
Yeah, so I'm Tyler B. Ruff, and I write and illustrate comics pretty much all the time. I've been writing and illustrating my series, The Unforgiven, since 2011. It's an ongoing 50-issue epic, and then I joined up with Jim here to co-create and do the art for The Atonement Bell. And I've got a forthcoming series in the next couple of years called Porticath that I'm beginning work on now. So always busy.
Okay, how did this team sort of form? How did you guys come together?
We actually did there was a free comic book day signing that we were both at, and our tables were right next to each other at a comic shop here in St. Louis. And he bought my stuff. I bought his stuff. And I really liked his artwork and thought it would be really a good match for, the Atonement Bell script for the characters. And the Atonement Bell, a lot of it is, it's very character based. There's not like big explosions and, things like that. So it required an artist that could really, whose work displays emotions.
Yeah, it has a good atmosphere. It's like very moody, Yeah.
Yeah. And also, the characters are going through a lot, and a lot of it is people talking, So
right.
I really needed somebody who could really do that well.
Yeah.
And it's actually kind of, it's not easy to find really who could do it at the detail that's necessary for this kind of a book. And Tyler was able to do it.
Yeah, one thing I can say about your work, Tyler, the emotions that you give your characters in each panel, they're very expressive, and you can really feel the emotions when you draw.
Yeah, thanks. That's really important to me to get right. I know it drives me nuts in comics whenever I see that, some artist has not matched the proper emotion to what somebody's saying in the dialogue and the mood of the panel and the mood of the book. I know that's always driven me nuts. So I really strive to make sure everybody's feeling what they're supposed to be feeling, and it shows.
Right.
So
yes.
I'm glad that comes across, because that's important to me.
Yeah. I mean, you don't want if the emotion don't match the story, it feels like really weird sometimes when you're reading the comic, Yeah. Jim, let's let him get a little bit about your little past. Like, how did you start as a comic book writer? Like, how, for any upcoming writers out there listening, like, what advice would you give them?
I think there's so many ways to do it. I mean, I actually got started in writing from being in a band and writing lyrics for for my songs, and then I started writing for a local entertainment paper, and then or magazine rather, and then me and my buddy started writing screenplays together, and we had one produced, and then my friend Jason Green, who's our editor now for the Butcher Queen series and for the Atonement Bell, he invited me to this collective in St. Louis called Ink and Drink Comics, which Tyler was actually a part of as well. And it's basically an organization that, or a group of guys that they put artists together with writers, and you, you meet up with somebody and they publish two themed anthologies a year. And so I was invited to one of these and just really fell in love with it, having been a comic book fan all my life. And that's like the for me, the if you want to get started in something like this, if you live in a city or near a city, every city that I've kind of looked into about this has some kind of a collective about this, some sort of group that really supports new writers and new artists and tries to pair people up for projects. And it's definitely worth seeking out. And I really found that what was interesting was that writing comics is quite a bit different than writing a screenplay or anything like that. Every sort of medium has its different rules and things like that. So having been a kid that loved comics and to be a grown up and to be able to write comics and have them put out is really a dream come true. It really is.
Yeah. I mean, I wrote like three comics myself. So I know, the ins and out of marketing, especially for like an indie comic, it's really hard to get noticed. We don't have the marketing budget of Marvel and DC,
Right.
So yeah. It's hard to get, the eyes onto your books. So any little bit helps,
And then a lot of these places, they are
like this.
Yeah.
A lot of places, they expect you to have that following before you come to them with a book or whatever. It's like, well, when am I going to have time to make the book if I'm spending all my time marketing it,
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of the reason why I started a podcast myself, to like bleed into the stuff that I'm doing, And also, helping others as well,
Yeah, and this is great. I mean, thank you for having us on. It's stuff like this that really, it's all that we have to help get the word out. So whenever someone, invites us on, or it's really appreciated because, like I said, it's all that we have.
It's hard out here for everybody.
I know.
That's why there's a comic support group in every city that you've looked into, Jim, because like we all need the support.
So the very first thing that you did was this anthology, but after that, how did you like get to Red 5?
Okay, well, yeah, I did a action comic anthology called Rough and Tumble,
mm-hmm.
and then I did a horror anthology called The Dead Palace, and then me and Ben Sawyer, we kind of did the Dead Palace together. And he went to San Diego Comic-Con, and I never had the chance to go at the time, but he went there and we had like a mini version of our, a condensed version of the Dead Palace to shop around and show like publishers and stuff.
Right.
And Red 5 was one of them that took interest, and we started talking to them, and they were originally going to publish the Dead Palace as a series instead of, what it became, Butcher Queen. But because of the length of the stories, it didn't really line up as far as page count stuff to be a series.
Right.
So they asked me if I had anything else to pitch them. And Butcher Queen was one of the stories in the Dead Palace. And so I said, yeah, I've got this this whole story about Butcher Queen that I love to pitch to you guys. And they said, well, yeah, we'll schedule a meeting in a week and you can pitch it to us. And I didn't really have a story.
Right.
You know, I had to so in that week, I had to come up with an outline. And at the end of the week, I pitched it to them and they were into it. And that's really how it began.
And you didn't have an artist for it yet either, right?
No, I had Ben Sawyer because we had done Butcher Queen together, that short story in the Dead Palace.
Right. Oh, okay.
So he was already there. And yeah, and Ben was the one that got us to Red 5, you know.
Mm-hmm. So. Oh, cool. Cool. You know, everything works out. Are you still doing
that? And I've actually been to SDCC a couple times now. And it's amazing. You know, and I would never get a chance to go because I would never be able to afford it.
I know.
If it wasn't for, you know, these books that we're doing. So it's
the madhouse there. It's like so packed.
It's so crazy. It's almost overwhelming. I mean, you could spend a few days there and never see everything.
I know. Have you gone to the New York Comic Con yet?
I've never been.
Yeah. It's like being in a tuna in a can. It's like so crowded. So crowded. Yeah.
It's crazy. Yeah. And I was surprised too, because when people talk about San Diego Comic-Con, they say this not about the comics anymore because there's so many studio films.
Right. Yeah.
But actually that stuff happens in a totally different building.
Same thing happens, in New York too.
Yeah.
But they put that all in the basement. They put all that stuff in the basement.
Oh.
Basement. Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Well, the comics at SDCC, that's in its own building. And so it's still all about the comics, and I've met a lot of really great creators out there, and it's really inspiring and just fun, you know, to be around all these.
It's a great community. Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. Tyler, how did you start off? What school did you go to? Did you go to a school for cartooning or did you just do this all by yourself?
So I've been making comics since I was 5 years old, just printing out, just taking a copier paper and stapling that together and making comics that way. I've always known this is what I want to do with my life. And I've never really deviated from that path at all. And so when I went to college, I went to Illinois State and graduated from there in 2010. And have a degree in studio art and creative writing. And then I started writing and illustrating my own series. Then after I graduated and publishing that in 2011, The Unforgiven, and that's still going. I'm on issue 17 or so. And then that brought me to here. My first collaborative project here with Jim and Ben and Ed and Jason. So
your creator-owned series, is it available yet?
Oh yeah, it's you can get it on my website, weartheunforgiven.com. You can get it in a number of different. There's a few other websites, but you know, go to the main source. Go to weartheunforgiven.com for all of it. So
okay, we'll be putting links to all of these things into our show notes and everybody can click it and check it out.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. So what was your inspiration when you were creating this story?
For the Atonement Bell?
Yes. Atonement Bell.
Well, a couple things. I grew up, Tyler did as well, grew up in St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always loved the horror genre, and kind of my favorite aspect of the horror genre is it's not really the sort of blood and gut stuff. It's more like the ghosts and you know, that sort of thing. And I love the ability to have social commentary woven throughout the story. And growing up in St. Louis, you know, I love our city. But I also recognize that there have been a lot of issues in the past historically about, you know, with you know, race relations and, you know, and on and on. And one thing I wanted to do with the Atonement Bell is present St. Louis in a more realistic way, I guess.
Yeah.
In the sense that usually in media, like in films and stuff, St. Louis is presented like Escape from New York. You know, like it's like this desolate,
right,
you know, crime-ridden area, when it's actually, you know, quite beautiful and ethnically diverse. Right. So I wanted to present it properly because I do love it so much, the city, but I also wanted to, you know, be honest and truthful about it, about the things that we see here, we sometimes face. And I wanted to weave that into a really fun horror story. I always like things you can enjoy on two levels. I like stories that you can enjoy on just a surface level and have fun.
Right.
But I think that if you could build a lot of subtext in there, and the devil's in the details, right? If you want the other stuff, if you want to, you know, be touched by that and engage with that, it's there.
Yeah.
And so that's really a big reason why I'm so proud of the series, you know. Mm-hmm. And Tyler really did a perfect job of capturing the aesthetics of our city. You know, people who have seen the art are like, wow, that's St. Louis, you got it. Because so many people don't get it.
Yeah.
But he was able to nail it.
Yeah, living here all my life, it was really important to make sure it looked exactly like, you know, the place I've come to know and love as my home. And for anybody else who's reading it, who lives here, you know, I wanted them to understand the authenticity of the thing and not be like, oh, well, that street doesn't connect to that street. You know, I live here. I know that's not how that works. You know, watching a movie like Up in the Air, we're like, well, they're supposed to be in Wisconsin, but I know they filmed this in St. Louis and they're just reusing St. Louis for that, you know?
Yeah.
So I went and location scouted everything that, every location in it to make sure I had, you know, and took reference photos to make sure I had all the angles of every place that I was capturing in the art of the book, because I wanted it to be authentically 100% St. Louis.
So. Yeah, that's cool. That's cool.
And it's a good way to go too, because even if you're not from St. Louis, you know, because Tyler was so specific with what we're seeing on the page, it just grounds the whole thing. It gives the characters a more detailed world to live in. So
right,
you know, it kind of draws you in more that way, I think, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. No, well, I read the first issue. I wish I had more, but it had a great cliffhanger. I love that way it ended. I wanted to read more after reading it. Now, one thing we didn't talk about for our listeners, why don't you give us like the elevator pitch to what you think would grab the listeners into wanting to read this book?
Oh gosh,
because we do a lot of like horror related stuff on this show. This is, you know, so you know, a lot of our audience would probably dig this.
Okay, yeah. Well, the Atonement, mother and her son, who have just faced a personal tragedy, so they drive into St. Louis to meet with a strange family. And they become involved in a conflict between a coven of witches and the Catholic Church. And they have to figure out why. And that's where the Atonement Bell begins.
Yeah, a lot of creepy stuff happens.
A lot of creepy stuff happens, yeah. And actually, you know, if you only read issue one, I mean, I hope you get a chance to read issue two, because things get crazy in issue two. And wow, there's lots of twists and turns.
Yeah.
And I'm so thrilled with it. I really think the Atonement Bell is like, I really think it's my favorite thing that I've ever been
how,
a part
how
of.
Many issues is it?
It's a 4-issue series.
Okay. Okay. And have they all been released already?
No, just issue 1 and 2 are out.
Uh-huh.
And 3 comes out in, I think, February sometime, I think.
Okay. Make sure everybody pre-orders these copies, and you can get copies from the Red 5 website as well.
You can, yes.
And wherever, you know, comics are sold everywhere now.
Sure, you can ask your local comic shop to order it for you if they don't have it. And
you get a digital copy as well right now?
I believe it's on
Comixology.
It's funny, I haven't checked. I believe it's on Comixology and Global Comics, if you like the digital experience.
Yeah.
I should know this. I'm pretty sure it is, though. Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you checked, Tyler?
I haven't. I prefer to have the weight of all of my books sag down the floors of my house like bricks of my tomb.
No, I'm totally with you. Yeah, I'm the same way. I was just curious. I'm pretty sure it's on Comixology, though, in Global Comics. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm the same way. I like to have that physical copy in my hand. It just better.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they can get a little hard to read. I just bought the Batman, Greg Capullo, like Scott Snyder omnibus that's like this thick, and it's kind of I mean, like in the middle of it now, and it's kind of difficult to unwieldy. But I'd still prefer to read it, you know, as a it feels like a sense of accomplishment when you finish something like that, rather than just like swipe off the iPad and you're done, you know.
Yeah,
right.
I don't know.
Well, Tyler, whenever I read things now, I've got to.
Oh yeah, the dad glasses.
I've got to wear my dad glasses. Yeah,
that's coming for me too, I'm sure.
Tyler, you don't have any kids, right? Or do you?
I don't. No, okay. I have two cats that are enough of a handful. Yeah. I know it's not the same, but you know.
Yeah. Well, yeah. One day, maybe. I don't know. Yeah. Jim.
Come on, Tyler.
I don't think it's in the cards for me.
You have two kids.
I do. Yeah.
What are the ages?
Jordan is my oldest. He's 24.
Oh, okay.
Yep, and my youngest is Jace, and he is 15.
Okay.
And it's interesting because my older child has always been an old soul. You know, mm-hmm. he really has been. But my younger one, Jace, he's the prototypical teenager.
Oh.
Like, you know, nothing I do is cool.
Right. Wow. You know, I would have been in love if my dad was doing comics, let me tell you.
You know, it's funny how that happens because, like, they don't, you know, don't really care.
Yeah.
It's just funny because they just want me to be their dad. And that's fine with me, you know. But yeah, like, you know, music that I might do, if I do like a little like a film, like a small acting role thing, I'll say, hey, you should check it out. And they're like,
yeah, the right age is like, for me right now, my kids are like between 4 and 10.
Oh, that's a great age, man.
Between those ages, they think like I am a god sometimes, you know?
Oh yeah, it's a magic age, you know, and it just
I'm waiting for that ball to drop. I know when they reach that age, teenagers, you know, they're gonna like, oh whatever, dad, you know.
Yeah, the door will shut and they'll kind of do their own thing.
Right. Right. You
know? Yeah.
Well, but what? Yeah.
That age that you're at now with your kids, I mean, that's such a wonderful age, you know. There's so many times where I wish I could experience that again. You know,
right.
it just goes by so fast.
I mean, that's one of the main reasons I did the show, because, you know, I actually get to record these moments together. You know, I could always listen to it forever, you know.
And that's awesome. I love that.
Oh, did you ever try to like wean them into like things that you like comics and stuff? Do they read comics or anything?
Oh yeah, I mean my oldest one reads, he'll read my stuff, you know, and he'll actually, both of them, I would take them to comic shops and I would buy them comics, and I was doing that with my youngest for a while, but he's kind of like, he just does his own thing. His big thing is video games. That's the big love, you know. And he's not as much of a reader as my oldest one, but I try to like introduce them to things, but I never want to like be pushy about anything, about sharing my interests. Like, it's like, you know, if you're interested, you know, come to me and, you know, we'll talk about it, or I'll show you some stuff. But, and if not, that's okay too. You
know? Right. Yeah. You can't force them.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't.
No, no. So Tyler, tell us a little bit about your creator owned series. What is that actually about? Like, can you give us a little,
Somewhere. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
It's about a group of rebels trying to take down a corrupt government after a war has destroyed most of the planet. Guns have been outlawed, so people are just running around with swords and bows and whatever they can find to take back the world from the fascists who have taken it over.
So it's almost almost like reality.
Yeah, I was going to say, not at all like reality. Yeah.
It's a good series.
It was a lot more far-fetched when I started writing it and illustrating it over a decade ago, but it's becoming uncomfortably
it's slowly
close
getting
to
there.
Home. Yeah. Yeah. So... there's some more sci-fi elements to it and more so as it goes along, as the layers get pulled back. I can't say too much without spoiling it because it's a slow burn, but there's some big reveals coming very shortly. I'm really excited for the current arc that I'm about to start illustrating.
And you self-published this yourself, right?
I do. Yeah. For the time being and maybe permanently. It's a little difficult to pitch and market an anti-capitalist comic series to people who are interested in making money on it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But I have other series, you know, including Atonement Bell. So, you know.
Well, plus I think with The Unforgiven, it's kind of like that's your passion project. I mean, it's going to be a 50 issue. It's going to take up a lot of your. It's like a life's work almost by the time you'll be finished, right?
Oh, definitely. Right. Yeah. It's my Hellboy, you know?
Yeah.
It's
like that's awesome. James Cameron's Avatar. He's going to do that for the rest of his life.
Yeah. Sounds like it.
Yeah. But yeah, everybody said that was never going to work. And look at that. You never know what people will like, you know?
Yeah. I hope they find it while I'm still around, you know, and it's not one of those things that's like, doesn't do me any good. Cause everybody decided they loved it like 10 years after I'm gone. So.
Well, I mean, at least somebody would love it, right?
You know, that's fine. I just won't get to like enjoy that, you know.
I know.
Because like obviously a big part of writing or creating anything, I'm sure there are some people who create in a vacuum who, you know, there's the black paintings on Goya's walls that he never expected anybody to see, but I think most creators are creating to make some kind of connection with people who enjoy their work, and you know you want to see that while you're still around.
I know.
So yeah. I hope so, but you know I'll make it regardless because I can't stop. It's a drive like breathing. You know, it's something I have to do.
And at least now that you know COVID has kind of slowed down, you can do like appearances. You can. Get the book out there in conventions, you know, get the word out there, you know.
Yeah, it's less locked down than 2020 for sure. No appearances that year.
No, so. No. Virtual appearance, maybe, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you don't know how many podcasts like started up during that pandemic.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, I'm sure.
Like,
I can imagine. Billions. Yeah.
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 I was one of them.
Well, I'm glad.
Yeah. So, but, you know,
we talked about like, you know, creating and putting your art and your work out there. And I think that's what's really so good is that, you know, I've said this before, but one of my main goals in life is to leave behind as much fun stuff as I can. And I think that's kind of the magic of, you know, when you love a creator, is that, you know, even when after they're gone, you still have their stuff.
Right.
And you can still make people happy with your stuff, even when you're not there. And I think there's a real magic to that. And and I think it's an important thing too.
Yeah. You know? I forget who said it, but there's that quote that it's the closest thing to time travel we've got. You know, you can read somebody's voice from thousands of years ago and, you know, it's neat.
Yeah.
I think Charlie Sheen said that.
Yeah, that could be. And then I think it was reading is the closest thing we have to time travel, and that's winning, I think was the...
He said Tiger Blood.
Yeah.
Right.
That's what it was.
Yeah. So
that was good.
Yeah. Jim, so I don't know. I know it's a little early to talk about what your next plan is, but... What do you have planned after
Atonement Bell? Me and that friend of mine that I write screenplays with, or I've written screenplays with in the past, Oscar Madrid, we did the Rough and Tumble together. We're working on or starting to work right now on a series, and it's a horror comedy series, and it's the complete opposite of Atonement Bell. It's just, yeah. I always like to
like a Evil Dead type of tone,
you know. But that's what I'm working on right now, or starting to.
Okay, all right. So, you know, we also, this is a movie podcast mostly. So what like movies have you seen recently that you would recommend?
Well,
give me something you saw on streaming. It doesn't have to be in movie theaters.
Well, I was going to say, I don't have great taste in movies.
Come on, just say anything.
So, I really, you know, I like horror movies. I just saw Megan.
Oh, okay.
And that was really fun.
Okay.
I enjoyed the very divisive Halloween Ends.
Oh, boy. You're one of those people that liked it.
I know. I did. But so many people hated it. And I actually understand why. But I saw what I watched recently.
Pretty easy to understand why, though.
yeah, I know. I know. You didn't like it, right?
No. We really... Give that a lot of shit.
there's a music critic in town here in St. Louis. His name is Kevin Johnson, and he, like, whenever he sees me online or in person, he will really make fun of me for liking Halloween.
I actually would have liked that movie better if Michael wasn't even in the movie, if he was just a hallucination.
Yeah,
you know.
I get that.
Yeah,
you know, I really liked that whole trilogy. Every one of the films is quite different from the other one.
Right.
And I just thought it was like, it was so, the last one, Halloween Ends, was so different than the other ones. They took just like this big creative swing with it. And it was such a big swing that it had to be divisive.
Yeah.
And like I said, the people didn't like it. I totally get it.
Right.
You know, what else did I see? The Pale Blue Eyes on The Pale Blue Eye. That was really good.
Yeah. What about you, Tyler?
The only two things I've watched recently, I watched The Batman finally on New Year's Eve. And I was like, well, I've got to be up till midnight. Yeah. I'm like, if I gotta be up till midnight anyway, I may as well like get a movie in for the first time that I have like time to put 3 hours to kill. So and I liked it. I thought it was really good, especially the soundtrack. I thought the soundtrack that Michael Giacchino did was just killer.
He's always good.
Mikey. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's I've liked his work since Lost, since he did the soundtrack for that. And then I watched Reality Bites for the first time a couple days ago. So I had never seen that. And I imagine it hits probably different now, siding with Ben Stiller a little more than Ethan Hawke, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Probably when I was younger, it's like, oh yeah, like no, Ethan Hawke all the way. But now, like, you know, you're older, like, oh, she, like, Ben Stiller deserves better than everybody in that movie.
Right. Yeah.
Speaking of Ethan Hawke, have you guys seen The Black Phone?
Yeah.
Yeah. I really your book gave me a little bit vibes of that because, you know, you saw like those dead, skinless kids.
Yeah. Although, this was developed before The Black Phone came out and stuff, but I can see that. Yeah.
Also, you know, this like Hellraiser vibes with the skinless people.
Right? Oh, for sure. Oh yeah. I mean, I remember seeing the first, or actually I think I saw the second Hellraiser in theaters when it first came out.
Right.
And it blew me away because it was so unusual.
Did you see that new remake?
Bizarre. And it really left an imprint on me. So yeah, the Blood Children and the Atonement Bell.
Right.
I think I described to Tyler. I think Hellraiser was one of the references, wasn't it?
I could see that.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I can't remember, but yeah.
I could see that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you see the remake?
I did.
I didn't like it as much.
It was interesting, but I wasn't crazy, but to me it kind of went nowhere.
Kind of lost the feeling. of the
rhythm. Yeah. I still think the first two films are like
definitely the best. Definitely. Yeah.
For sure.
So now we're going to be, after the four issues, is this like a finite story, or would you be open to revisit this story?
Well, it was written to be a finite story, to have a beginning, middle, and end. And I think, and I don't know how Tyler feels about this, but I really feel like the way that it ends is a really solid ending.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I
did have an idea for one, but it's really not a sequel. It's kind of like tangential and happens years later with just a couple of the characters. And I haven't really thought about it much since. I'm so happy with the series and the way it turned out and everything else. I don't really feel the need to do more.
Mm-hmm. Have you got feedback from anybody, any readers so far?
I'm sorry?
Have you gotten any feedback from any readers?
Oh, sure, yeah, that they're enjoying it. It's gotten some good, really good reviews. In fact, we had an early release for issue one at the last San Diego Comic-Con.
Okay.
And had a special variant cover for that. Yeah. And people would buy it. And then they would come back the next day and were like, oh, my God, what happens next?
Right. That first issue, it's really engaging. Yeah.
Yeah. And that was really nice. That was really cool. And so, I had a lot of good response to it. I haven't really heard anything, people saying it, sucks.
No.
Which is good.
right. Yeah. That's great. It was great to have you guys on the show. I want you guys to have as much success as you can. And I hope everybody that likes horror comics, you should really check out this series, The Atonement Bell, from Red 5.
Thank you.
Right? Thank you both.
Red 5, absolutely. Thanks for having us on.
Yeah, man. Thank you so much. All right. That's it.
Thank you, man.
Yeah.
This is really nice of you. I know that it's probably not the usual thing that you do, I know, right? Because it's usually like
family-oriented. We have two shows. We have the kid-friendly show, and we have the adult show. So we're going to put you on the more adult show. We have more listeners on that one.
Okay. Well, yeah. It's
better.
Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah. Thanks for inviting us, man. It's, I was really being sincere. It's thank goodness for people like you that invite us on, because otherwise it's hard to get the word out there and, cut through the noise.
I wish I could have as much, creators as I can on the show, but, it's hard to get through to some creators, they got to talk to their publisher first, and it's much easier to get through with indie creators instead of the big creators.
Well, we're still men of the people.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you again. I hope you guys have a good night.
Yes. Thank you. You too.
You too, man. Thank you.
Yes. So you guys, what time zones are you in?
Central.
Oh, yeah. So it's a little bit earlier, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's about 8:30 here.
Yeah, well, it was late for me.
Oh, Rafi, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
I have a question for you. Are you on Twitter?
Yes. Yes. I'm going to add you guys soon today. Yeah. And I'm going to link when I get the episode out, I'm going to link all you guys up. All right?
Perfect. Sounds good.
Okay. Thank you, man.
In a couple of weeks. We should
Bye, guys.
All right. Perfect. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Take care.
Have a good night.
Bye.
You too. Bye.